Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
God bless y'all out there. Golly, I love our listeners. I love our donors and our Blood River Radio family, even if you don't send money in. If you would, send me. I'll tell you what I absolutely love to get. I love to get letters, cards. I guess I'm kind of like a kid. I like to see feedback, especially positive feedback. I like a pat on the shoulder. I really get a humongous jolt, kick, builds up my spirits when somebody sends letters and cards and tells me I'm doing a good job. Even if you send me, emails, that's wonderful. But we have Paul Fromm coming on. He'll be on in a minute or two. I told him to go ahead and take a break. It's about 92 degrees here in the studio. And I'm sure it's not that hot where he is, but we're going to bring him on in a minute, and Paul and I, we're going to dissect specifically, not just specifically, but mostly about the Battle of Charlottesville, because Paul has been on a speaking tour talking about that. I was talking to Monica Schaefer the other day, and she told me that Paul, she said, you should get him on because he's pretty much of an expert. He studied Charlottesville, and he said that it was a watermark, a turning point in politics in these here United States of America. But I would like to say, before we go to Paul, I'd like to plug it one more time. Pastor asked me to plug the Knights Council again once more time. We're going to be up there over the Labor Day weekend. If anybody would like to come, send me an email to eddie@bloodriverradio.com. And with that, I think Paul's back now. I think I hear him. So it sounds like you're back, Paul.
I'm back, yes.
Okie doke. If you will, watch out. I'm not trying to get on to you like a grandpa or a daddy, but watch that extraneous noise. Every little bit of noise, especially on this new high-tech line we have, is very sensitive. It's transmitted out over the airways. But go ahead. I just told the audience that have been around like on a speaking tour. If I heard Monica right, Monica Schaefer, she said that you all the details. That you're really knowledgeable about what happened at the Battle of Charlottesville. The implications it had that day, that week, that year, 4 years later, what implications still haunt us, and maybe what I'm going to ask you when you get through, what do you think is going to be happening 5 years from now because of what spun off from Charlottesville. So go ahead, Paul, tell us what you know about the Battle of Charlottesville. It was August the 12th of 2017. Go ahead, Paul.
I'm interested really in the significance of it. I was interested in what Pastor Rob was saying, maybe as you were actually, in the first segment about the bad policing. It should have, from a policing point of view, it should have been a simple matter. There were the Patriots, and we have to remember what they were there for. They were there to protest the removal of one of the Confederate statues. And of course, there were other people, anti-whites, the anti-racists, etc., who were going to protest them. Well, the simple thing would be simply to keep the two sides apart. That's elementary policing. But in fact, what was done was that the police on the day of the big battle on the Saturday forced the Patriots into a somewhat narrow channel, which brought them right in front of the anti-whites and the anti-racists, and the anti-racists were spoiling for a fight, and the rest is history. But the significance, I did a talk later that fall, and the name of my talk was Charlottesville, This Changes Everything. And I was not allowed to speak in Winnipeg. The mayor wanted me run out of town. The police cooperated. The police leaned on the hotel that was hosting my meeting. And the meeting was canceled. Various Native Indians and professional anti-racists were against it. So not only was I not allowed to have my meeting, later that night when some supporters and I looked for another hotel, we actually found one. And a little bit later, I was told I had to leave. I said, why? All I want is a bedroom. No, you have to leave. Why? I said, well, the police said. Okay. So we went looking for another hotel. Well, no sooner did I start to register than the girls turned ashen white when she saw my credit card and said, we don't have any accommodations. I said, you had accommodations 30 seconds ago. Well, we've had a direction not to give you a place. So then I went to a place that had to be one of the sleaziest hotels I have ever been in. I mean, they had a tavern that had a couple of, you know, sad old losers who'd probably been hanging around drinking for 40 years, a dingy, tiny lobby, and about two vehicles in the parking lot. So in other words, they could certainly have used the business. I started to register, and then the desk clerk, you know, recognized my name, and he called the manager, and the manager said they wouldn't be renting to me. And I said, why not?
Damn, that's
no bad. That way they wouldn't give me a reason. So finally, I was beginning to think, I'm going to have to go to the airport and sleep in the in the departures area. But then we crossed out of the city limits to another community, and there, apparently, the police directive had not gone out to the neighboring community. It was a different jurisdiction. First place I stopped at no problem getting a bedroom. But that was my adventure with my talk in Winnipeg. So from then on, I called Winnipeg Pyongyang on the prairies. no fans of free speech, but yeah, my thesis was, and I sort of agree in a way with what Pastor Rob was saying, Charlottesville was one of many protests that have been held by patriots over the decades, but it was used, among other things, to harass Donald Trump, because Trump would not immediately denounce the patriots when he said, well, he didn't approve of the violence and there were good people on both sides. Well, I'm not so sure I'd say there were good people on the other side, but okay, that was very generous and even-handed. They flipped out, absolutely flipped out over that, because the official ideology is that being pro-white is a great crime. You'd rather be called a child molester than being called a racist. I think Charlottesville shocked the political establishment. The denunciations from were hysterical. Two summers later, three summers later, Black Lives Matter and their camp followers would be burning parts of major cities across the United States, would be occupying parts of Portland, creating anarchy. And that got very little official denunciation. The patriots in Charlottesville did not commit any violence. They didn't trash the town. They didn't burn down the mayor's home or anything like that. They staged a spirited protest. And that's, I think that frightened the establishment, or the leftist, the cultural Marxist establishment of both parties. It frightened them because here were largely young white men. Now, there were some women and there were some older folks, and I understand my friend David Duke was there too, and I guess he'd constitute now an older folk. I'm sure he wouldn't like me saying that, but these were young men, and it must have been such an affront to the elite, because they'd had 50 years to propagandize people through their, you know, the largely Jewish-dominated media, through the education system, the solid diet of white guilt and white hatred that had been shoveled out through the much of the education system for decades. And here were young men, you know, in their 20s and 30s and teens, who escaped that. I mean, they were young, they were good-looking, and they were proud. They were not your stereotypical, whatever they want to call it, you know, white supremacist, you know, a kind of toothless Southerner whose every second word is, can I say the word on your show, you know, the N-word?
you get what you want to say because...
It's not important. Everybody knows what I'm saying. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
You're the stereotypical media clown. No, these were healthy, good-looking young white men in large numbers. Now, that was a shocker. And I remember a comment made by not somebody on the far left, we expect that, but by former Utah Senator Orrin Hatch. Now, Orrin Hatch had the reputation of being a conservative. And he had been in Washington until he retired a few years ago for over 40 years.
Hey, Paul, we have to go to a quick break. Hold that thought. You're doing a marvelous job, my brother. We'll be right back. Dear Blood River Radio family, I hope you're listening and hope you're enjoying it as much as I am. We'll be right back to part two of this lesson in just a minute.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at bloodriverradio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I like to listen to that music a little bit. You know, Matt Goodwin picked that music a couple of years ago. You probably heard me say that 100 times. But anyway, we're going to go right back to Paul. Paul has done a marvelous job. I was hoping he would. He's exceeding my expectations. He's dissecting many aspects of why Charlottesville was so significant. It's really set apart. Yes, there was other protests. Yes, there were other riots. But if you notice, Pastor said, like in Chicago, and even in Washington, D.C., I think they took like 15 to Chicago, maybe 40 to D.C. Back in 1982. We had hundreds, 300, 400, 500, 600 Walt Marston to Lee Park, and several hundred more. Of course, there was more than that of our enemy that were paid protesters, et cetera. But I'm going to shut up. I'm going to go right. But, Paul, you made some great, made some great observations. I didn't think about the number of good-looking white guys. There was some really good-looking young white men and women. They had their girlfriends up there. I'm sure they would have had their girlfriends there if they'd known all hell was going to break broken loose. Matter of fact, I know one particular, I won't say his name, but he's probably out of law school now. Imagine that. A really good-looking lawyer with his great, beautiful wife. They were there, highly educated, Christian people. One fellow up there was going to go to medical school. We had several in the barracks where I stayed, and they were ages, went in ages from about 17, I think one of them was only 16, all the way up to, 30. 30 was an old guy. But anyway, that's a great, great observation. And you know what, Paul? I think you're right. I think it scares the living hell out of the communist people, the communists that are running D.C. But anyway, go back to you, Paul. Continue on. You're doing a great job, brother.
I was talking about Senator Orrin Hatch. And Orrin Hatch had been the chairman when the Republicans were in control of the Senate. He was the chairman of the Senate Justice Committee, and he was, the ranking member when the Democrats were in charge. And many people, like, I knew a man who went to work for him in the early 80s, and he's kind of famous too now, Peter Brimel. Peter Brimel, yes, runs Be Dare, which is a very good racial site. And Peter was a friend of mine from Canada. Peter had started his journalism activities in Canada, then he moved to the States, and he worked for Orrin Hatch for a bit. Anyway, many of us had a lot of, naively had a lot of hopes in Orrin Hatch. So fast forward over 40 years, and finally Orrin Hatch retires, and you'd have to say, well, he didn't accomplish much. He didn't reverse affirmative action, or didn't really protect whites or victims of affirmative action and discrimination. He basically had a reputation but didn't do anything. So you would have thought, well, Orrin Hatch probably won't have much to say about Charlottesville. Well, did he ever have something to say? He said he lost a brother to Nazism in World War II, He is absolutely dedicated to fighting Nazis. I thought, what does Nazis have to do with Confederate statues? No wonder you accomplished nothing. You're a fraud, and you're not committed to white rights. Well, I don't know what he's committed to, but it's certainly not white rights. That's why we continue to lose under Reagan. Pastor Rob was talking about going over the various presidents, and you were mentioned. He was mentioning the amnesty bill. Well, good old Ronald Reagan was responsible for that amnesty, which gave the okay to millions of third world illegals, and that just, of course, encouraged more. And so, 35 or 40 years later, we're still, you're still battling with that. So, okay, what Charlottesville seemed to be was to be a tremendous shock to the leftist elite of both parties. There was almost nobody defending the people at Charlottesville, and then there was absolute vengeance. All sorts of groups almost immediately lost their PayPal accounts, or the whatever service they were using to accept credit card donations. People lost their job. The Antifa made it a point to try to track down anybody who had participated in Charlottesville, and if they were young and vulnerable, like being a university student. I know of at least one student who was expelled from his university in California. Not for anything he did at the university, but because he'd been at Charlottesville. And we lost the Canadian Association for Free Expression. We lost our PayPal account a few months later. I mean, heaven knows why. I wasn't at Charlottesville. We had nothing to do with Charlottesville. But this became the various sinister groups, I think, gave some of the Silicon Valley censors a hit list of groups they wanted to punish. For instance, Mark Weber's Institute for Historical Review, which is basically, as the title says, looking at considering again some of the elite's left wing history, especially regarding World War II. It had nothing to do with Charlottesville, but we found I think right across North America a wave of repression of an elite that I think that was truly shocked that there were that what they had hoped would be a dying movement wasn't dying. I think the sinister calculation has been, look, there will be white nationalists that will be around. They're mostly the older people, older than you and me, actually. They're old people. They'll, within a decade or two, they will die out. We have indoctrinated the, baby boomer generation largely, and we've certainly indoctrinated the next couple of generations. After a while, there'll be virtually no resistance. Well, when you see young people, as you were saying, in their late teens, 20s, 30s, and not, not your stereotypical loser, the way they've tried to stereotype us. So the only people who are white nationalists are, losers. Well, that's not true. It's healthy people who want a healthy future for themselves and for the children they hope to have. That was a huge, huge shock. And I think tied to that, and you mentioned this when you were talking to me off air, of course, is the mega shock of January the 6th. The man who did some things, Donald Trump was certainly not all we wanted, but Donald Trump did do a number of things. And in my opinion, if he did nothing else, the fact that he hammered the mass media, that he called them out and identified them for what they were. And I loved some of his rallies where he'd say, well, I see there are people from the media there down there in the front row. Yes, I mean you. I want to say, you lie, you lie, you lie. And the crowd went crazy. because a lot of people know that, and he helped focus that. You know, when a person of prestige says it, and not just once. I mean, this has been a constant theme with Trump. That's incredibly important. One of our major enemies in certainly in white nationalist politics, but even in conservative politics, is the pathological animosity of most of the mainstream media, of the fake news media, and he called that out. Trump was, in many ways did some good things. He sort of built part of the wall on the border. That was good. I think he had a lot of good instincts. He managed to implement some things that were good. He also got three conservatives on the Supreme Court who'll be there for, with God willing, a long time. I believe he was removed and was something pretty close to a coup d'etat. I'm not an expert on your last year's election, but I'm certainly prepared to believe that that it was stolen. So January 6th was another very, very important event because a huge.
We have to go to another break, Paul.
Okay.
Man, I'm really enjoying this. I've got a few questions when we come back, but I don't want to slow you down because you're covering a lot of details that need to be covered. Be right back, people.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Dr. Rochelle Walensky, director of the CDC, issued a clarification statement Friday night on Fox News' special report. Brett Baer had asked about masks.
The masks are really being put on for vaccinated people in areas of high density disease, such that if they were to get infected, that they knew that they might bring it to somebody who is immunocompromised, somebody who was not yet vaccinated. So it was really to prevent transmission.
From the USA Radio News West Texas Bureau, I'm Brad Bernards.
The best companion a pillow has ever had. You've heard me talking about Mike Lindell's Giza Dreams bed sheets now for a couple of years. They're the perfect companion to the MyPillow, made with the world's best cotton called Giza, grown only in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. Its long staple cotton makes it ultra soft and breathable. And just like the MyPillow, there's a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Try it for yourself. Mike Lindell and I promise you'll sleep better or you get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA. You'll get 2-for-1 pricing plus free shipping, but only by using my promo code USA. Or call 1-800-951-8175 and ask for the Giza Dream Sheets Special. And the promo code USA gets you up to 66% off the entire line of MyPillow products. Sleep better with the Giza Dreams bed sheets and save at MyPillow.com. Promo code USA.
A strange sight spotted once again in the sky above Los Angeles. Here's Mike Fortier.
A cargo pilot calls air traffic control at LAX after seeing something unusual to his right. Jetpack man. Apparently a man in a jetpack flying about 5,000 feet in the air a little after 6 o'clock Wednesday night. Unusual but not unprecedented. Pilots reporting sightings of jetpack man twice last year in the same area. Federal investigators haven't been able to get to the bottom of the story. Is it really someone with a jetpack or just a drone made to look like someone in a jetpack? The FBI tells the New York Times it's investigating. From the USA Radio News Florida Bureau, I'm Mike Fortier.
Joe Biden wagered his campaign and now his presidency on the premise that government itself could still work. When the Senate voted this week with bipartisan support, he seemed to have proof of the concept. But the triumph was overshadowed by the surging Delta variant of the coronavirus that has forced the restoration of mask guidelines. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly? Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say
something. Well, people, we're right back. My Lord, hope you're enjoying the show. Hope that you're appreciating the Paul Fromm has a. It's like looking through a magnifying glass, you know, like we're going in and we'll say, well, we'll look at that Petri dish over there. That looks like, you know, it's been treated with some methyl blue or some acid fast stain. But Paul is going with a microscope and he's looking in there and he's seeing the actual bacteria in this Petri dish that has grown. He's dissecting this even better than I had hoped. That's what I wanted to do, part of the show, to dissect Charlottesville. We know there were other protests since time immemorial, but you know, none quite like Charlottesville for the exact reasons that Paul is bringing out far better than I could, and even better than Pastor Rob did. But in Pastor Rob's defense, I asked him to cover others. But we're putting this in a historical perspective as we talk about Charlottesville. And we're linking them to others. But I'm going to go back to Paul. When Paul, I told him to cover as many details as he can. I can always ask my questions later. But go ahead, Paul. Continue on, my brother.
Yeah, you brought up something on the break about a very brave young, I think he said he was a freshman at a Bible school down in the South. And he went to the Lee Memorial the next day after Charlottesville, dressed in a Confederate uniform, and saluted the Lee statue, and was nearly lynched by the Antifa. He was saved by the police. But then when he got back to safety at his college, he was just expelled on the spot. And, you know, it was things like that that became the new normal. People who'd been to Charlottesville with the Nationalists and the Patriots were the victims of harassment, expulsion if they were students, firing in many cases. And you have to kind of ask yourself, well, wait a sec, was this in some dreary third world dictatorship or some communist country? But no, it's in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Whatever happened to the right to having a political opinion on your own time? You know, this student and the people that were at Charlottesville were doing this on their own time off, you know, school or worksite property. The vengeance unleashed on them, should underscore the fragility of freedom, and also terror that the leftist elite feels, and that's being magnified, I think, after the big protests in Washington on the 6th of January. And of course, there were basically break up into sort of two stories. One is the huge rally that Donald Trump had called. He'd spoken to. It was overwhelmingly peaceful. And one of the people I know, a lady down in Kentucky, tells me that she said there were a lot of Chinese people there. I said, oh, really? Oh, yeah. She said she was on a street fairly close to the Capitol, and she was ran into quite a crowd of Chinese people, and they say you can't lose Donald Trump. We know what communism is like in Tibet and in North Korea, and what they're doing in Hong Kong. Trump is really what would stand between some degree of freedom and communism. We know these communists. So, of course, the fake news media would make it seem that everybody in the crowd were all white. Well, no, there were people from many points of view who supported Donald Trump. Okay, that was one protest. And then there was the group of people who entered the Capitol. I mean, I've always thought, and maybe I'm naive, but it's public property. I mean, if you're an American and an American taxpayer, don't you have a right to be there?
Excellent point.
That's what I tell the prison guards when we protest for one of our political prisoners out in front of a prison in Toronto. You can't walk on the grass, though. Well, actually, we're not on the grass, but why not? Oh, well, it's prison property. I said, well, actually, I own the place. What? I said, well, yeah, I'm a taxpayer. I own it. You work for me,
Excellent
too.
Point.
They don't like that. They don't like that. But anyway, I don't pretend to know all of what happened inside. I do know a very patriotic lady was gunned down by a black policeman. She was unarmed. That was Ashley. Gunned down, shot in the stomach. just outrageous. But the anger and of that many people, I think, absolutely shocked the cultural Marxists. That's why they've been on an absolute tear. I often listen to CNN only because up here I can't get Fox News, but I sometimes listen to CNN. They regularly refer to the Patriots as terrorists, as an insurrection. It wasn't an insurrection. They didn't go up there with a replacement government, let's say president on their shoulders. We're going to overthrow this and put somebody else in. They were protesting what they thought was a crooked election, which was their right. But the vengeance since that, I believe the FBI have arrested and charged, I believe it's 400, but it might be more. most of them for frankly nothing more than I can gather than protest, perhaps trespassing. I mean, that's usually a Mickey Mouse misdemeanor. But the vengeance, and of course, as with Charlottesville, people who were known to have participated, being fired, expelled, if they were students, harassed, because there is a war going on in the West between the globalists and the white haters who basically want to replace us. And while Donald Trump was certainly not a perfect standard bearer, he was a gutsy and a powerful one. You know, we might have preferred David Duke or somebody else, but I mean, Trump, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of good that can be said about him. And they're terrified of him and terrified of the fact a lot of people were prepared to give up a great deal to go and to stand, you know, for their country and for their race. You know, people gave up going to work, gave up going to school, traveled at their own expense, in many cases, right across the country. This is significant, and I don't think that's lost on the globalists, and that's why there's been a reign of terror ever since. And you know, I don't think we should be silent when people refer to them as as a terrorist or insurrectionist. They weren't terrorists. They were protesters. Terrorists would have, you know, assassinated somebody or blown something up like Antifa did. You know, the damage that they've done in places like Portland and other places. So that's what I think is, I think there's a link between Charlottesville and January 6th in Washington. And I think it's part of the same battle. And, you know, it's not over yet, Eddie.
You know, speaking of people losing their jobs, we have a Matt Goodwin. I rode to Charlottesville with him. He comes on our show from time to time. You know, when he came back from Charlottesville, he was fired from his job because his employer found out he was there. You know, I would go into just mention, you know, the Declaration of Independence. I've talked about it all the time. But, you know, according to our Declaration of Independence, you probably know it better than I do, we have the right and the duty to abolish, to change any form of government. Well, I'll just go ahead and read it. It says that when any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, that is to protect the rights of the people, the rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, when government fails to protect those people and protect those rights, it's the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government. And so those people, you know, the people that attacked us, the people that attacked the people in Charlottesville, in Chicago, in New York, especially in Charlottesville, especially in D.C., they were the lawbreakers. You're absolutely right. They are there. They were the communists. We'll go to a break. We've got to go to a break now, Paul. If we come back, I got to ask you a question or two.
Okay.
And, man, this is one hell of an interview. It's your exceeding expectations, young fellow. Be right back, people. Paul is on a roll.
Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more while listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday. from 4 to 6 p.m.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Well, Blood River Radio family and some of the people that hate my guts, I know they listen. That's a little story on the side because I will be seeing some of those people that hate my guts soon. It's kind of a I can't wait. You know, Paul, I'm a big runner. And, I used to run with this group in Memphis, several groups as a St. Jude Hero and St. Jude Hero training groups. And since, you know, I don't hide my candle under a bushel. Everybody and his mama knows about this radio station here in Memphis. They know it's at Charlottesville. They know my political beliefs and my spiritual beliefs, and many of them have dropped me cold. But these people are enemies. These communists, these Luciferian Bolsheviks, they are such cowards. They never, ever attack you unless they have just overwhelming force, and preferably if they have the police on their side. And I know some of them are listening tonight. And you don't know how to react when I come around, but next Saturday I will be at the training group, and I'm going to be right smack dab in the middle of you people, and I'm going to invite you to bring it on the best you've got because I am ready to rock and roll. Well, that's sad, but you know, I live for that crap. But you know, these people, they're such cowards, Paul. They unfriend you. They get rid of your bank accounts. They're even talking about fixing it where you can't, instead of just taking you off of Facebook, like that's not bad enough. They're going to fix it where we can't use our cell phones to call and send text messages. But I have a quick question. Well, one quick question. I'm going to turn you loose because, man, you were covering it. This pent-up force, this pent-up spirit, for lack of better words, that these people, these I'll call them beautiful people that showed up, just beautiful white people, some up there, you know, 16, 18, 20, 25 years old, like we said earlier, law students, medical students, and with their girlfriends, their fiancés, they had some beautiful girls up there. One of them stayed in our compound, so he's now a lawyer, and I think he's out of law school and lives in Florida. But that force, that driving energy that brought them up there, Paul, do you think it was because they had witnessed a direct frontal assault, an attack in every direction on our culture, specifically here in the United States, in the South, the destruction of our statues, of our heroes, like a General Nathan Bedford Forrest, Jefferson Davis, downtown Memphis. And that wasn't good enough just to dig up the statues. They're digging up their graves. There's a big hole down on Front Street in Memphis where it used to be Jefferson Davis Park, a.k.a. Confederate. We had Jefferson Davis Park. We had Confederate Park. Is that force? I know, and the reason I'm asking this, are those people still there? Are they still desperate? Do you think they would respond to another Charlottesville, another big protest? Will they come together to meet this this satanic, this communist, barbaric government, this crime cabal that's taken over Washington, D.C.? Is that force still there, or are they too afraid because so many of them have, so to speak, have run to the high grass and are hiding out? I was talking to Dr. Hill, who is the national director for the League of the South, and he said that the League of the South is one of the very few Christian, conservative, patriotic constitutionalist organizations, whatever you want to say, still left standing because so many of them have folded. And I know some that used to want to come on a radio show that wouldn't even answer my phone calls now. And they used to be part of the so-called alt-right. But is that force, that's a roundabout way of saying, is that force, that anger, that desperation, is it still there, Paul? Do you think it will ever rear its head again any time in the near future?
Well, two things. While some have fallen by the wayside or taken cover, others are still very, very strong, like your first guest, Pastor Tom Robb, a good friend of mine. I don't think...
And you, too. White you, too, Paul. You've been a activist forever and ever.
That's true. I don't think white nationalism is dead by any means. I'm very involved in end the lockdown protests right across Canada. That's, of course, not the same thing exactly as white nationalism, but I have met a lot of very good people that are becoming politically aware. And they're beginning to, they wouldn't be in the movement if they didn't, hadn't developed a very healthy distrust of government and of the fake news media. And that puts these people, in a very good position for recruitment. And I'm accused venomous Jew, Bernie Farber. He was with the old Canadian Jewish Congress. He's now with something called the Canadian Anti-Hate Network, which is funded by the Canadian taxpayer, unfortunately, and also by one of our major banks. He accuses me of using these rallies for recruitment. And the people are getting bad ideas because they're rubbing shoulders with horrible people like yours truly and others. I think there's an awakening in much of the population that we have been abused and conned on many levels. But that's exactly where what a lot of white people are feeling about what's being done to us with immigration. With the anti-white education system, with Black Lives Matter, with the nonsense about systemic racism. There is systemic racism, but it's racism against whites. What would you call affirmative action? Now that's racism. It's selecting people for jobs or promotion or admission to university on the basis of race, but it's selecting them on the basis of their not being white. I think there's growing awareness of that. So, no, I don't think Charlottesville or January the 6th are things of the past. I think the Patriots will reorganize and regroup.
Paul, do you think that the people, the powers that be, so to speak, that are forcing these so-called vaccines that are not vaccines, they are, in my opinion, death shots, to paraphrase what Rick Wiles of True News said. He used to say, hear people talk about them being experimental drugs. I fully agree with what he said, that these so-called shots, whatever they are death drugs. They're killing people by the scores. Everybody knows it. But the lies are just monumental. But are these vaccines, are they part, I know this is probably a bridge too far, is this COVID lockdown, the one you've been participating in, I know, and in fact, I've got to get you on another out soon. I want to get you on maybe with Monica to talk about all this, what our brothers and sisters in Canada, the forces y'all are battling up there, so similar to what we're battling. But is this any way connected? If we had could have possibly won at Charlottesville, if we'd have had enough politicians, enough powers to be on our side, if we'd have won Charlottesville, if something positive had come out of that, would we have ever seen these lockdowns? And the reason I say that, do you think, and I hope this isn't too abstract, do you think the lockdowns, these vaccines, the so-called vaccines, are any way linked to try to come out of fear from the people that suppressed us at Charlottesville, that suppressed us at Washington, D.C., is just some kind of a way they can, out of fear, they're trying to lock us down, suppress us, push us down. We can never regain the ability to protest again. Is that a bridge too far? Am I crazy, or is that?
No, I don't think it is, because there are little hints. In the spring of 2020, a member of parliament and a close friend of our prime minister said we need legislation that will make it an offense to spread false news or misinformation on the internet, especially about COVID. Well, the government from one day to the next can't figure out what's correct. In the beginning, they rightly said, "Oh, masks don't do much good." Well, then by June of last year, well, masks are probably advisable, and then by August, you must wear a mask. I see this. What COVID allowed the governments of our country and yours and European countries to test out the lockdown and compulsory measures like you must wear a mask for this and that. Basically to see how compliant people would be. And I think they got the answer, unfortunately, because we warned people in spring of last year, it's compulsory masks today and it's going to be compulsory vaccines tomorrow. Well, you know, some people say, oh, no, you're exaggerating. Well, every night on CNN, I hear how, Mayor Del, that Marxist mayor of New York City, de Blasio, now mandates all city employees have to be vaxxed. Some companies are doing that. I think the lockdowns and the masking were a test run. How much can we get the sheeple to accept? And they learned that a fair number of people will accept anything, I'm afraid to say. On the other hand, that's kind of a negative. On the positive, a lot of people have become quite awake and quite angry and opposed to this force. I mean, you know, it basically breaks down are you in favor of freedom, or are you in favor of totalitarian government? And a fair number of people are okay with totalitarian government, but a fair number are not. And you know, the lines are forming.
You know, Paul, do you think? And I'm asking you too many things, these questions you couldn't possibly know, but I think you have as good an insight as anyone. These people that are forcing these lockdowns, and I believe, even though I asked you the question, I answered my own question, I think that they're probably, that's part of it, not just Charlottesville, but I think that's repercussions against people that like us, the patriots that were in Charlottesville, that are the place where you go to protest. If they're trying, do you think that they are aware, and I totally believe that the people, these young, beautiful people we spoke about, these hundreds of people that were in Charlottesville, young, healthy, smart people, are the people aware of what I think was coming? These young people, these patriots, they're going to stand sooner or later, and they're going to bring, well, we run out of time, they're going to bring, they're going to be a house cleaning in Washington, D.C., in the halls of Canada. Paul, you did it. You knocked it out of the park. I'm sorry we're out of time. Definitely got to get you back on again as soon as possible. Man, you did it much better than I even expected, that I had hoped for. You just dissected Charlottesville better than anybody I know. People, you heard it. You heard it all from Paul.
It would be my pleasure to come back.
Well, thank you so much. You can count on it. Thank you so much, Paul. Thank you, Jay, for running a flawless board. Thank you, Blood River Radio audience. God bless you. Keep us in your prayers. We'll see you same time, same place next week, August 7th. We're going to have some surprise guests on, some parents that were in Charlottesville, of parents of the people that were in Charlottesville. But anyway, good night, everybody.